Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. You never need water till you need water. I am thrilled to have these folk here today, these special singers here today. Aiden, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Something like that, you know? And this is the first time to meet your wife. And I want her to know, we pray for you. You married to Aiden. I mean, we pray for you and that precious baby. And the lady that never gets recognized is Mrs. Jean Ramsey. It's like Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He's always known as Simon Peter's brother. Oh, this woman, Jean Ramsey's wife, that's who she is. Paige, good to see you. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate you being in the service today. All right, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll announce the scripture. Father in heaven, we thank you for your glorious attribute of being great God, great and almighty God. We praise you today for who you are and all that you do, and everything you do is right, especially when it comes to the incarnation of sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. How we thank you today, we have a Savior in Christ who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Father, be with us in this hour. We need to hear from you. We've heard from the politicians and we've heard from those in public office. God, we need to hear from you today. And I pray you might speak to our hearts and challenge us as we listen intently to the word of God. For we ask it in Christ's name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles, and it's necessary for you to do that because we use the Bible in the church and we read from the scriptures in the Bible, and I believe you'll get a whole lot more out of the message when you turn to Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter number 2. Now, it's rather a lengthy chapter, and I would like to read all of it, but we don't have the time to do that in this service. I want to read some of the verses to set the context for the message. Daniel 2, verses 10 through 23. Daniel chapter 2, verses 10 through 23. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there's no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other than that can show it before the king except the gods. It's about all they had, a bunch of gods that were not worth anything, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry, very furious, commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Notice in verse number 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was always having dreams. Sometimes he possibly was so drunk he didn't remember what he dreamed. But in this particular case, he did not know not only the meaning of the dream, he could not remember the nature of the dream. And he called in his counselors. He called in his wise men. He called in his sorcerers, the best in the land. And he said, I want you to tell me about this dream that I dreamed. And they said, well, you tell us what you dreamed, and we'll give you the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I want to do better than that. I don't know what I dreamed. So you tell me what I dreamed, and then you give me the interpretation. And they began to scratch their heads. They knew they were in trouble. If they could come up with any kind of interpretation, that'd be all right. But to describe what he had dreamed and then give an interpretation was a total impossibility. And Nebuchadnezzar said, because you don't know and you've made fun of me, I'm going to declare right now that all the wise men and all the sorcerers be killed in the land. Well, Daniel was looked upon as a wise man. And his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were notified of the king's decree. Now, Arioch was the bodyguard for King Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one that was to execute all of these people. And he came to see Daniel, and he reaffirmed what Daniel had heard, that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to kill all the wise men, going to kill Daniel. And Daniel asked for permission to see the king. He walked into his presence and said, why are you doing this so hastily? Give me a little time. Give me a little time, and I believe I'll be able to tell you what you dreamed and also give you the interpretation thereof. And in verse number 19, Daniel and his three friends prayed and sought God's guidance about this. And what happened? Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, in verses 20 through 23 is the content of some of the things that Daniel included in his prayer as he blessed the God of heaven. He thanked God for wisdom and might. Notice he said wisdom and might are his. Second of all, he changeth the times and the seasons. Number three, he removeth and setteth up kings. Number four, he giveth wisdom to the wise. Number five, he giveth knowledge to the understanding. Number six, he revealeth the deep and secret things. Number seven, he knows what is in the darkness. And number eight, the light dwelleth with him. In that time of praising the Lord for the revelation he had given unto him, Daniel includes this. He knows what is in the darkness. That's what I want to preach about this morning. He knows what's in the darkness. The word darkness is used in many different ways in the Bible, just as we use the same term today in many different ways. First of all, is physical darkness. Whenever you talk about something being dark, there's an absence of light there. You think about physical darkness. You need not turn to it. Jot the reference down. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 22, This has to do with the plagues that God pronounced on Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward the heavens, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. A darkness that could be felt. One of the darkest places, I believe, physically speaking, in all of my life that I've ever experienced is when I made a trip and my family, I cannot go back far enough. I don't remember back then. I don't know how many kids we had. I don't even know if we had any kids back then or not. But it's been a long time ago. We went to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. And everything was just right. The tour guide said, we want you to see a lot of things. And we got down into the caverns and he said, now we're going to cut the lights off for about a minute. And when he cut the lights off, I remembered what he said. He said, I want you to see some beautiful things. I could not see a lick. I mean, it was so black. It was so dark. It only lasted a minute, but it seemed like to me it lasted for 30 minutes. Not one ray of light. It was so thick you could feel the darkness. Sometimes we use that word darkness for physical darkness. Sometimes we use it for spiritual darkness. And another word for spiritual darkness would be wickedness and licentious living. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, John in that little epistle says, we are of God, but the whole world lieth in wickedness. My dear friends, I'm here to tell you that the whole world still lies in darkness, spiritual darkness today. And darkness is a time period when Satan and sin are unleashed on humanity. Again, the scripture says in John 3, 19 through 20, men loved darkness better than they love light. Not talking about physical darkness, talking about spiritual darkness, wickedness. Men love darkness rather than light. Why do they do that? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their evil deeds be reproved. And again, darkness sometimes refers to intellectual darkness. Another word for that would be ignorance. There are just some things you know, and there are some things you don't know. And if you're ignorant of a certain matter, it is called intellectual darkness. God was speaking in Psalm 78, verse 2, and he made this marvelous declaration, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. God did not have a beginning. And God can always reach back and back and back and back. Dark sayings of old. There were things that happened, my dear friends, before you and I were ever born. And after we're dead, they'll continue to happen. But never escapes the all-seeing eye of God. But if we lack an understanding of those things, we are ignorant of those things. I was in darkness when I took algebra and trigonometry. I mean, I was in total darkness. And I want you to know all these years later, I'm still in total darkness in algebra. There's some things I just don't know. Let's don't talk math, all right? But what I'm saying is there's physical darkness, there's spiritual darkness, and there's intellectual darkness. Darkness is never spoken of favorably. It is never to be said, oh, isn't it wonderful look how dark everything is. Darkness is never spoken of favorably. It speaks of uncertainty. Watch your step. It's dark out there. It speaks of fear. It speaks of danger. It speaks of crime. It speaks of death. We naturally draw back from darkness. The reason why the light switch is beside the opening door in a room is to get some light on. It's dark in that room. Older people don't like to drive when it's dark. Now, if you're young this morning, you got something wonderful to look forward to. One day you won't be able to drive because it's dark. And that's a fact, my dear friend. Children cannot play outside. Why? Because it's after dark. We close and we lock the doors of our homes after dark. So I'm glad to be able to report to you today, I know somebody who knows what's in the dark. He knows what's in the dark. Now you raise the question, how could God know what's in the dark? How could God know what's in the dark? Number one, because he is omniscient as God and he knows all things. Nothing escapes the knowledge of God, whether it be light or whether it be dark. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord, that's an anthropomorphic expression, God doesn't have eyes. God is a spirit. But it is given to us so that we might understand that God is a real person, because real people usually have eyes and ears. And Christ Jesus is the incarnate God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Do you believe that? There's no place where God does not know and where God does not see. He manifest his sight to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. A similar verse, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the bad. God knows what's in the darkness because he's omniscient and he knows all things. Job 26, verse 6. Hail, you may not realize this verse, but it's in your Bible. If you have a King James Bible, I can't swear by the others, all right, but it's in the King James verse. Job 26, 6. Hail is naked before him. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. It is the Hebrew word Sheol. Most of the times it means the place of departed spirits or saints or souls who've died in this life. If they didn't know the Lord, they go to a place called Sheol, Hades. But it also references the grave. Whenever a person dies, we bury them. We put them in a grave. And notice hell is naked before him. Have you ever thought of this? Remove the tombstone and all graves look alike. Think about it for a moment. In any cemetery in the world, remove the tombstones and one grave looks like any other grave. You say, well, Brother Cozart, that's not so. We have this great big monument. Forget the monument. Remove all the paraphernalia. Remove all the outward trappings and you got a pile of dirt and all tombstones gone. Every grave looks alike, except when God looks down, he knows who is in each grave and he knows who lived for the Lord and who didn't live for the Lord. Job 28:10, his eye seeth every precious thing. The eyes of God seeth every precious thing. And in Psalm 66, verse 7, his eyes behold the nations. And the writer put that in plural, not the nation, not the good old USA, but all the countries of the world the eyes behold the nations. We have approximately 200 nations in the world. 200 countries in the world. And the eyes of the Lord knows all that's going on in every one of those nations. He knows. Why does He know? Because He's an omniscient God. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. He sees what is in the darkness before it happens. When it happens. He sees what's in the darkness after it happens. Whether during the day or night. Whether it be done public or private. Whether it be good or bad. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Now, Mama may not know anything about it. And Daddy may not know anything about it. And husband may not know anything about it. And wife might know anything about it. But I'm telling you, there's nothing hidden from the sight of God in all the nations of the world. How could God know what's in the darkness? Because, my dear friends, He is the omniscient God and He knows all things. He knows what's in the darkness because He makes the darkness. Now, hear that again. He makes the darkness and therefore knows what is therein. John said, without Him was not anything made that was made. There would be no such thing as light apart from God, neither would there be anything dark apart from God because He made darkness. Isaiah 45 verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. Do you know the Bible talks about God saying, let there be light? Well, before He ever said, let there be light, before He ever said, let there be light, He said, let there be darkness. God made the darkness. And because He made the darkness, He knows what's in the darkness. Whether it's physical darkness, whether it's spiritual darkness, or whether it is intellectual darkness, God knows what's in the darkness. Because He made the darkness, therefore He knows what is therein. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse number 16. Give glory to the Lord your God, for He caused darkness. And before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, He turned it into the shadow of death and made it gross darkness. So, well, how does God know what's in the darkness? Another way is because He's been there. It's difficult sometimes to know a thing, for certainty if you've never been there. You say, well, I know somebody who did go there, or God went there. The Bible talks about it in Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Christ Jesus was to be made sin for us at that precise moment, God cut the lights out. Because He did not want anybody to see what went on between the Father and the Son. That, my dear friends, is a supernatural transaction that took place when Christ died at Calvary. He became sin for us, and God put the lights out, and it was darkness over all the land. He knows what's in the darkness because He's been there. Jesus Christ, my dear friends, was there in that darkness being separated from the Father on behalf of our sins. He's been there. It would be bad enough to be crucified in broad open daylight with the sun shining brightly the whole time, but to be there on the cross alone forsaken by God the Father for those hours where it was total darkness over all the land. How do we know he knows it? How do we know? Because he's been there. He also, we know it because the light dwelleth with him. The presence of God dispels dark. I want you to do something right quickly. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Watch this. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Not the morning and the evening were the first day, but the evening and the morning were the first day. Before there was a light, my dear friends, God Almighty created darkness. He knows what's in the darkness because he made it. Because he made it. There is no darkness of which he has no knowledge. There is no darkness of which he has no knowledge. Let's apply a few things. The darkness of an unmentionable past. The darkness of an unmentionable past. We like to brag on past accomplishments, but we do not like to brag on past sins. We like to talk about all the good things that we've done, but we're very careful not to talk about all the bad things that we have done. Now, folk, if you miss this, you're going to miss the message. We're not talking about the people not in church today. We're talking about us who are here today. And we're talking about the preacher that's standing in the pulpit, holding the Word of God, preaching to you. Every single one of us have things in our lives we just rather not talk about. Now, you can sit there as pious as a nanny goat if you want to, but that's a fact, my dear friend. If it were not so much in the actual act, it is even in our thoughts, things that are displeasing to God. They're dark things. They're dark things. But there is no darkness of which he does not have knowledge about. The darkness of an unmentionable past. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. The Apostle Paul said, I am the least. Now, let me give you my opinion, and that's all it's worth, just the opinion. In my opinion, the Apostle Paul's the greatest Christian who ever lived. I've never been so moved by any other character in the Bible than the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he said, 1 Corinthians 15, 9. I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet to be called an apostle. Why, Paul? Because I persecuted the church of God. He was not proud of that. It was an unmentionable thing in his past. There's a reason why Paul is called the chiefest of sinners. Have you ever wondered that? As I said, I believe one of the greatest men who ever lived, and yet the Scripture calls him the chiefest of sinners. There's a reason for that. Many feel they're beyond redemption because of the terrible things in the past. God knows about every single skeleton in our personal closet. No one escapes the all-seeing eye of God. He knows, he cares, whatever it be, incest, murder, abortion, or whatever, he knows what is in our unmentionable past. That has a tendency to take a little bit of the starchiness of pride out of us, because we like to be rewarded for our accomplishments. Grace greater than our sins. Not only because of the darkness of an unmentionable past, there's no darkness of which he has no knowledge, even that unmentionable past, the darkness of an unflavorable present. An unflavorable present. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34, the disciples were told to go by the Lord to enter a boat and go to the other side of Galilee. That's a type, I believe, of our pilgrim journey. We have to leave from one place in Galilee and cross the city and go into the lake and go across the lake to get to the other side. But there are a lot of storms that break out in that lake. The disciples were told by our Lord to enter into a boat and go to the other side. They were doing just exactly what he said to do. He was in the mountain alone praying, yet he left to go to the disciples because he knew what was in their darkness. He was aware they were having a difficult time on the Sea of Galilee. It was a dark hour for them. As far as they knew, their lives were going to be snuffed out. It was a dark period, but yet he knew, even as he prayed on the mountain, and that's why he left the mountain of prayer to go out to Galilee. And he walked on the water. And Simon Peter, first of all, remember they said, oh, it's got to be a spirit. We've never seen a thing like this before. No, the Lord Jesus said, it is me. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, let me walk on the water. Peter started out trying to do it in his own strength, and he sunk and would have drowned. And he cried out, Lord, save me. God knows what's in our unfavorable situation. In spite of all the difficulties, I love to read that passage, because they reached the other side safely. Not one of them died. God knew they were having a tough time. Hey, God knows you're having a tough time. You say, well, nobody knows. Yes, he does. You say, well, I don't have to go through the hard things other people do. Yes, you will. God knows. God knows. And I hope this particular day that we've awarded as Father's Day, a day when we like to renew our affections and love for our dads, and maybe have special lunch after church and see our loved ones and have somewhat of a reunion. Listen, out there somewhere is a storm. And I wish that you didn't have to go through it, but you may have to go through it. And there's some in our church that are going through some storms. They're having some difficult times, and their hearts are heavy, but God knows the darkness they're in. There are storms in our lives which we must face. Storms of sickness, storms of death, storms of the loss of our friends and family members. However, we must remember he knows what is in our darkness. Domestic problems are eating us up alive. Personal problems are devastating us. Health problems are taking our members one by one. But he knows what's in the darkness. The darkness of an uncertain future. There's some things we know and some things we do not know. I love that passage over in James when he says, go to now, you that say, today we're going to do this, and tomorrow we're going to go to town, and we're going to invest a little money, we're going to make some money, we're going to do this. He said, whatever you do, remember this, say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Because God just may not be willing to fit into my plans. And he may not be willing to fit into your plans. And everything you thought was going to be cherries and ice cream is turning out to be mud pies. not working, is it? You say, boy, you don't know, preacher, how dark it is. I don't claim to know, but I tell you, somebody who does know, God knows what you go through. When Paul appeared to go before Caesar to Agrippa, he wanted to see Agrippa. Ultimately, he wanted to see Caesar. Remember that? Little did he know of the storm, Euroclydon, that was out on the Mediterranean waiting for him to vessel out. Little did he know about the shipwreck that was going to take place, that they tried to throw off all the heavy goods off the side of the boat to keep it afloat. He didn't know anything about that. He was planning to go before Caesar. He had no idea that somewhere in the turmoil he's going to be bitten with a deadly viper. Not killed by that viper, but on the Isle of Malta he'd be bitten by that. Little did he know, yet he trusted God for his future. Little did he know the way he was going to die would be by means of having his head cut off from his shoulders by a Roman official. He didn't know that. All he knew was, I'm going to go before Caesar. You don't know it. I don't know it. You know, one of the safest things that we can say, I think, is I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what the rest of this day holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. Makes all the difference in the world. God knows what's in the darkness. And finally, God can do something about what is in the darkness. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29, For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. He will lighten my darkness. Daniel 2:20, Wisdom and might are His. Not only wisdom, God knows, but might as well. God can do something about it. Though it be dark, the Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I fear? A dear lady, a saint of God, came to the end of her life. Her children called together around her bedside, knowing her time was short. As she began to fade, she began to speak, It's getting darker. It's getting darker. I can barely see. But in a moment it changed. She said, Wait. There's a light coming to me. It's getting brighter and brighter. And it's beautiful. I'm not afraid. The darkness has passed away. And with that, she went to be with the Lord. I hope to encourage you with this message today, because things do not always go the way we would like for them to go. And there's an amount of suffering that you and I go through in this life. Let me give you a couple of things. I was in my doctor's office recently. I try to stay clear of doctor's offices and drug stores. Somehow or another, I just have a little bit more money when I can avoid those two areas. I was in my doctor's office recently, and as the case is when you usually go see the doctor and your appointment is at 3 o'clock, you get there a few minutes earlier because you want to impress your doctor. I mean, you're Johnny on the spot. You're there. And you sit down, and you start waiting. And you're waiting to see the doctor who's supposed to see you at 3 o'clock. And you try twiddling your thumbs. And then it's 15 minutes past 3 o'clock. And then you start counting those little dots in the ceiling tiles until it's 3:30. But on this particular occasion, within the last week, I sat in the doctor's office waiting on him, and he's all right, waiting on him. And I noticed on the wall there was a sign. Somebody had drawn that sign and put this inscription on it. Don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. That's worth my money right there. How often we think the mountains and obstacles, they're too great. I don't see how in the world I can. Don't tell God about your obstacles. Tell your obstacles about the greatness of God. And one other thing, and I will close. I think I shared this with you. I'm not sure. When you live long enough, you don't know what you share and what you don't share. You know? Kind of like Joe Biden. We don't even know what day it is. Huh? Everything gonna be fine. When as a child, I do not remember how young I was, but I do know I was a tiny little child. And one night I woke up and I was afraid. The room was dark. And I figured that if I rolled off my bed, my daddy would come and see about me because I'd make a noise when I hit the floor. I rolled off my bed and I pretended to be asleep. When my dad came and he picked me up and he put me safely back in bed, he thought I was asleep. But you know what? My Heavenly Father's been picking me up ever since. I roll off the bed all the time. But my Heavenly Father always is faithful to pick me up. And I don't care what you're having to face today. He knows what's in your darkness. And you can depend on that. And He's greater than anything that can beset you. May God help you in this hour. Let's stand, please, for prayer.